Hockey Show with the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good evening, everybody. We are live at the Antlers on a Monday evening and a little snowy outside, but we've got a pretty good crowd here. We've got maybe a dozen, 15 folks here with us tonight, which is great because it's not very nice outside, and Coach just came running in and grabbed the headset here as we're coming on the air, so I'm assuming there's a problem there too, but it's nasty driving right now. You got to be careful out there tonight, and we are up against the United Way chili cook-off that's going on up at the Norris Center. We hope those folks have got a great turnout there, and I think it's cost us a few folks here tonight. I think the other thing, Damon, is that we didn't play this past weekend, and this will be an interesting show because we're not going to be talking about results from a weekend series. It's the first time this year that you did not play on a given weekend, and what sorts of things have you been doing with the team to stay ready, to get ready, and to prepare to go to Huntsville this week?
Well, we started off by hitting the chili cook-off. We were up there, had a couple minutes over there, and came running in late. I didn't realize there was a blizzard going on as we walked out from there, so I apologize for that. But, yeah, we've tried to keep it fresh, a little bit. We came back from Alaska. We skated on Monday. We talked about that, I think, at the Raiders show last week. Instead of giving a day off right away, we thought it'd be important to kind of flush the system and get everything out of the body from that long trip. Tuesday was an off day. We mentioned Rico Fatt as well. Rico came over, did some skill development work with our guys, and then we went after it pretty good on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Got some scrimmage time in to try to kind of mimic the games that we missed as the rest of the country was playing. And, some special teams work the last couple of days as well, which is still a major work in progress. We've got to find some solutions on our power play. But, yeah, we tried to break it up a little bit. I know the guys had kind of a chance to be normal students this weekend, which is a nice break because we've either not been home or had games or the Saturday, Sunday start. So it's been a real kind of crazy start to the season with our schedule, with our travel. So it was nice, I think, for our guys to get a little break. I think typically in these situations, you'd have two coaches on the road recruiting. Coach Aubrey was out, but we had two different visitors, recruits in. So Coach Mitro stuck around. That way we kind of concentrate on the team and take care of the recruits, and it went well that way.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to talk about here, really, and you kind of hit on just about everything I was going to ask you about here tonight. But, I was going to ask you today at practice, did Pete Aubrey quit and you didn't tell me or what? I haven't seen him in 2 weeks, but I guess he came back. He was here for about a day, and then he went back on the road again, and some of the guys, I think Matt McKelvey and Paul, were saying today that they thought he was in Ottawa and Toronto and Youngstown, and they're going all over the place.
He's been a road warrior for sure, and the nice thing was, because of where he was location-wise, he could mix in a little side trip to see his wife and kids, so that was nice. And they're moving up here shortly, which will be great for Pete. But, yeah, he's been out hard. He's back here for a couple days. There's a dead period going on with the National Letter of Intent starting up here, and then he'll be back out. He's not going to go to Huntsville with us. There's couple different showcase events going on. We want to see some of the kids we're talking to in a high-end event, so we'll have a chance to do that. And so he'll get back for a couple days of practice, and then Coach Mitra and myself will head down to Huntsville with the team, and then we'll hopefully have all hands on deck for the two home weekends, and then we'll kind of figure out the North Dakota trip and the Ferris trip to finish up the first half of the season.
Yeah, first half of the season coming to an end here. I'm telling you, it's incredible how fast. It's like doing this show. It goes by in a hurry, and the next thing you know, you're pretty much done with things. But, we keep looking at what the Lakers have done so far. We're 1-9. We won our last game up in Alaska. And those teams you've played so far this season, I keep checking their records, and every week Michigan Tech keeps winning. I think they're 8-0 overall right now. 30 wins, 9 losses, 5 defeats. That's the record of the teams the Lakers have played thus far this season. Notre Dame kind of got stung twice this past weekend by Minnesota, but most of those teams have winning records and are doing a great job, and I think this Laker team is getting better all the time.
Yeah, I like the direction we're headed. I mean, obviously getting that win was great in terms of momentum and putting some things behind us. You mentioned Notre Dame had to go to Minnesota, play on that big sheet against the number one ranked team in the country. So those results probably not shocking. Like you mentioned, I watched a lot of the Michigan Tech games. Having actually chance at home, it's kind of crazy. I had a laptop going, an iPad going, the TV going, so different games everywhere. And I watched a lot of the Michigan Tech series, just kind of watching their style of play and some of the kids I, I recruited and got to know there. So I watched a lot of that game, and it's good to see. You know, Robert Morris, I think, were they Idle, I believe, but
yeah.
They're still undefeated. Mm-hmm. Tech's one of the, I think, one or two teams in the country that doesn't have a tie or a loss. And, yeah, so it's been a tough schedule, and I think that makes us a better team down the road and as we continue to go on. I'm not sure if we'll hit on it or not, but Matt Johnson's back fully cleared and healthy. Chris Ciotti, for the first time, fully cleared and healthy. So we're getting healthy. Those two guys back in our lineup really really changed our forward group and our depth. So it's been really fun to have them back and be fully healthy for the first time all year.
Yeah, that was to be a question here tonight, too, about the health of this team. And I see Chris out there practicing, no red jersey on or anything. So he's going full tilt. I know he's got things taped up pretty well, but he's ready to go. Matt Johnson's ready to go. Jason Bird's back. Everybody's healthy and ready to go this weekend. What do you do with your lineup now? You got some decisions to make with who's going to make the trip and then who's going to play.
Yeah, no question. It's tough in certainly some ways, but it's great as a coach. I mean, you want to have tough decisions. You want to have, you know, those hard conversations with those players who either don't get to make the trip or don't dress. So it's not always the most enjoyable part of the job, but it's great for where we want to be and where we're at. So, you know, Chris has kind of practiced on more of a depth line for us the last week and today into his full clear day, and he's looked so good. I think we've got to find a way to get him back into our top six or top nine forwards. I mean, he's stayed in great shape. He brings speed, he brings some jam, he brings some skill, so he's been really good. You know, early in the year, we really liked the way Johnson, Schmidt, and Patterson were playing together, so there's a good chance they'll be reunited and go at it. And then, like I said, in the back end, I think Jason Bird has come back finally healthy after being dinged up and slowed up a little bit. And I had a great start and kind of dipped a little bit with the injury. And he's looked really good as well. So we shuffled things up on the back end a little bit. I think tomorrow we'll probably juggle some lines and look at some situations there. But a good situation. It's where you want to be as a staff. When you have hard decisions, that's a good situation to be in. And we haven't had enough of those so far.
Yeah, and it can't hurt, really. A power play's been something that's been less than what you'd like to see at this point. But if you can get Chris Ciotti involved with the power play and Johnson, that's a couple of pretty good players right there.
Yeah, and you hit it. They were both on a group today. Chris kind of in and out a little bit. You worry about his game conditioning a little bit. He's worked really hard, but nothing mimics a game. But, you know, Chris can play minutes. He's in great shape. And, you know, Johnson had a great first start. So both those guys did see some time on a unit. Kind of a revamped and different look, and part of that is what we'll see against Alabama Huntsville. The way they kill is very similar to Anchorage. They're a little bit more of a passive unit, and Anchorage is probably more to the big sheet, but we'll have a little bit more time once we get possession, and we got to do a little bit better job creating movement with and without the puck to create some shot lanes and passing lanes in the net. So a little bit of a revamped look on that second unit or one of our units, and then that top unit. You know, similar look, but again, a little bit of more tweaks that we want to get some pucks to the net and just simplify things a little bit.
You know, we've talked pregame talks and at this show many times so far this season about conditioning, and that's one thing. Every time I go to practice, it seems like you have conditioning built in there. You're doing a lot of skating for the sake of skating, and you've turned it into competitive stuff, so they've got some fun involved, but it's pretty tough, and I like it. I think that's going to pay dividends down the road.
Well, I mean, it has to be better, and it's gotten a lot better. I mean, we talked about it, Rich and I, leaving Anchorage to play that Saturday night. You know, we played six periods where we thought it was by far the best shape we've shown. You know, with the time change, the long trip, Olympic ice, there's a lot of excuses built in where we could have slowed it down a little bit. We thought we finished strong and had our best six periods total. So it has taken a lot of positive steps, and like you said, that there's a big purpose. You know, Tuesday is kind of a dreaded day by our team. We have what we call double downs, and you know, guys don't look forward to the double downs. And but like you said, we don't just go out there and skate for the sake of skating. Mm-hmm. We have a little bit built in occasionally for the conditioning, but if you can get it with high tempo repetitions, with skill repetitions, you know, we're trying to build it in. So our puck touches, the speed we play with, you know, it's all built together, and we can get our conditioning, you know, with what we're trying to accomplish in practice. So our tempo, our pace, as much as we can, we try to keep it very quick and very up-tempo. There's certainly some drills and some situations where you just can't do it because of the type of drill it is or the teaching you have to do. But the more we can do in those situations, the better we like it for sure.
Okay, we're going to get some questions from the audience that we have here with us tonight, too. We'll be passing the sheet around in a moment. If you got any questions for the coach, please ask them, and we'll get into that in the latter segments of our show here tonight. I'm not sure which player. Is it Austin who's coming in tonight?
Gordy Dayfield.
Gordy Dayfield, the goaltender, is going to join us here tonight. That'll be good. We'll get a chance to talk to the freshman who has done such a good job. That's another thing, too. So far this season, the two freshman goaltenders have been a real strength for you. They've both done a good job. You played Aldridge and Gordy Dayfield up in Alaska, and Gordy came away with the first victory of the season. But certainly goaltending has not been a problem, and yet you got a couple guys there who haven't played yet who'd love to get a chance. They're there in practice every day. What's the situation with the four goaltenders at this point?
Not a lot of changes. You know, similar situation. You know, I thought actually Aaron Davis is, you know, during the bye week, you have a chance to really get to spend more time with your team. And so we had individual meetings with every single player during the bye week. Mm-hmm. And you get a chance to talk the good and the bad. Hey, this is what you've done well. This is where you need to improve. And chance to be, you know, probably be positive. And, you know, I thought Aaron and both responded really well. They've had a couple of good days last week and this week. They're looking for feedback. They're looking for the chances. So it continues to be, you know, a competition. Again, you know, we've said it for a while that there's a little bit of separation between 1 and 2 and 2 and 3. But hopefully that gap keeps closing and they keep working hard that way. And, you know, so they're taking steps and they're fighting, like you said. They're hungry. They want their chance. And they're not far away. And so we'll continue to give them their shots. But you know, we like to talk to our team. We don't make decisions on the lineup. The players make the decisions for us. We ask guys to go out and earn their opportunity, earn what line they're on, earn their chance to play or travel with the team. And so we don't sit back and just say, hey, we picked this guy, we like him, he's a nice kid, whatever. We ask our players to earn it every day in practice. So if they do that, then they'll be on a trip. And I think we've shown that quite a bit. There's been a lot of guys that have gotten their chances. Austin McKay's a great example. Didn't play early on, put him in the lineup, and he's just responded the week, and he has.
Yeah, he's a good job. There's a guy who worked hard on his skating over the summer. He actually did some private work with somebody who helped him with the skating a bit. That's improved. But he's a kind of a Johan Franzen type player. He's just a big body that can do some things, and he can shoot the puck. And he's got a couple goals so far this season.
Yeah, well, that big, strong frame, that front, you know, and he's got just such a great hockey IQ. So he reads the game very well. He knows where to be, and he probably needs that because, like you said, his skating is not elite, but he's taking big strides that way. Just plays strong, plays the game the right way, you know, wins faceoffs. So he's done a lot of really good things for us, and, you know, he's continued to be in a power play unit. He's continuing to play a lot of quality minutes for us, you know, kills penalties, power play, again, because he wins faceoffs. So right away we start with puck possession. He's done a great job.
Okay, what do we know about Huntsville? We talked a bit about them last week. They have since gone to Air Force this past weekend out in Colorado Springs, and they won their first game of the season on Friday night and got a tie on Saturday. So they're feeling pretty good about themselves right now.
Yeah, no question. I mean, they got their confidence is up, you know, so they're going to be feeling good. I mean, critical WCHA points on the line. I'm not sure if everybody listening knows about the Alaska Fairbanks sanctions, but yeah. They are not allowed in the WCHA or NCAA tournament this year. So there's only one team that will be sitting out the playoffs this year. And, you know, you hate to back your way into it or anything like that, but there's certainly a little extra incentive with where we're sitting between the teams, you know, to fight for that playoff spot. So they're a little bit of a young team. Looking at their roster, they have twice as many seniors as we do, which is 6 instead of our 3, but they are young. Obviously, Mike Corbett, the head coach, is in his second year of kind of taking that program over. And now that they've found the league, they'll continue to get better, and their recruiting will continue to improve. So they got some youth to them. They play hard. I mean, they play hard. They come at you. They're going to be a physical team, just like Mike was at Air Force with his time with Frank Saratori. It's a team that comes at you. They play physical. They play in your face. And the biggest concern, they got great goaltending. So their goaltending gives them a chance to win every game, every night. If you look at Guerrero in particular, his numbers are off the charts. You know, a lot of one-goal losses, just like us. They've been in nearly every game, and with that goaltending, they get a chance to win every night.
Yeah, they're a much better team, I think, than most people would give them credit for to this point, and they'll be at home. They'll be tough this coming weekend, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see what 22 guys make the trip for Lake Superior and what 20 guys started out on Friday night.
Yeah, maybe we should put that on our question sheet. Everybody's been watching practice, has to put their 22 travel roster. It is. It's tough this week, you know. And, again, we had some great conversations. Kids have responded. But it's certainly the most competitive we've been. The guys, for the most part, you know, 95% or so have really kind of figured out and bought into what we're asking of them. And so the response almost across that entire locker room has been really good in terms of the pace we want to play with, the compete level we want to play with, the intensity we want to play with. So it's a much healthier situation sitting here 5-6 weeks into it than it was week one or week two when, you know, guys weren't quite sure and our conditioning level wasn't there. So yeah, I mean, we can sit here and honestly don't know for sure who's going to travel Wednesday night, who's going to play on what line Wednesday night. And, you know, it might be better to be a little more solid, but it's a healthy competition in a positive direction for where we're headed.
Yeah, what's the plan at this point? You'll leave on Wednesday night, I take it, and travel all night on the sleeper. And
Yep, we're doing that. We're actually going to stop just the timing of it. Huntsville's, I don't know, 14, 15 or so by bus, maybe 16, so it's a little long to go all the way. We're going to stop off in Nashville. Mm-hmm. We've talked to the Predators brass, and we're going to practice at Bridgestone there where the Predators practice and kind of check out their facility. Hopefully get a little chance to talk to some of their manager. Their team is out of town, so we don't get a chance to see them practice or anything like that. But we'll stop off in Nashville to kind of be in that NHL environment, and maybe there's a couple injured guys. We can kind of see their approach, what it takes to be a pro. So I think there's some healthy areas for our team to be in that environment. Grab lunch there, and then we'll finish the trip down to Huntsville and unload the bus and watch some video and have a team meeting Thursday night and a team meal, and then it's game time Friday.
All righty. Friday night, Saturday night, we'll have both games for you on 99.5 ESFM. And we're going to take a break here in our show tonight. Damon and I will be right back with more on the Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers on ESPN 1400.
ESPN 1400.
All righty, we are back at the Antlers on a snowy Monday night here in Sault Ste. Marie. It's a little early in the season to be having all this snow we're getting. We're supposed to get, half a foot or something, up to 10 inches maybe overnight. We'll hope it doesn't come near that. I think it's all going to melt anyway, so it's just going to be a mess for us. But a little bit of a surprise today. I know if you come out of the chili cook-off and you didn't know there was a blizzard going on, you could be surprised by that. I can't believe a guy who lived in Houghton the last, 3 years doesn't have all the gear in his car.
But it's just too early. I wasn't ready. I thought they had plenty of time, and I'm 200 less inches here. I didn't think I needed it. You guys said you got 120 inches last year. I thought it'd be cake and, you know, a little dusting and get it off and be ready to go. So, but it feels like hockey, so I love it. It's
I know. You know, people here are spoiled, too. 120 inches, what do they get in Houghton? About 350 every year?
Last year, it's just
incredible.
Like 200 more inches than you had here.
You go over to Michigan Tech in the middle of the winter, and you think it's The Shining. You're waiting for Jack Nicholson to jump out. One of the things I want to hit on, we mentioned him earlier, but I think it's very interesting that Rico Fatta is involved a little bit here, and I know he's got things going on in Sault, Ontario. Here's a guy who's probably got enough money in the bank. He doesn't need to work again the rest of his life. He was a tremendous player, played for the Sault Greyhounds when he was 15 years old, didn't get drafted by the Greyhounds because he got picked off by London Knights, and I think he was on a Memorial Cup team there. He's a tremendous player. And went on to the National Hockey League, and he's had some health issues and battled some stuff. But, you know, he's here last week. I had a chance to chat with him a little bit. But I loved what he was doing with players because he's doing individual skill things and team skill things that are a little bit different than your average coach will throw at a kid during the day. And I think it's good to have him involved. And I know he's volunteer, which is great, but he's a valuable guy.
Yeah, well, no question. And that's per NCAA rules. You know, our coaching staff limits are all set by the NCAA, what we're allowed to have. So there's rules and limitations, but I think it's healthy, too, just to get away from us. You know, they hear a different voice, you know, and certainly the skill development aspect is so important. It was all with overspeed, lots of puck touches, using their backhands, catching, shooting. So I thought it was really productive. The funny part was when we had meetings after that, some of the guys that we had our individual meetings the next day or two, it sounded like we were on the ice with them. The things he told our guys, and so they all thought we coached them and, hey, make sure you tell them this or that. And like, guys, we haven't said a word to them. We just wanted them to come do skill and play with pace and play fast and attack the net. And, but just, you know, there's a right way to play the game. And we read an article to our team by Mike Babcock last week as well. Just, you know, if you play the game the right way, you get rewarded. And he was talking about their game against Ottawa where they got blown out, I think a week ago tomorrow. And so, you know, here's Rico, 15 years pro, former first rounder, and he just comes in, and this is the way you play the game. There's a right way to play. You know, you compete, you stop and start on pucks, you play strong, you play fast. You know, you do that, and you have a lot of success individually and as a team, and there's no real secrets out there, you know, but it's how you get your team there. It's the talent you have, and you know, the habits you install in your team. So I think it's been really healthy, and we'll continue to. different based on our schedule and what we need in terms of preparation for the week. The off week was great because we got them over here twice. You know, I think coming back off of Huntsville, the overnight trip, the sleeper bus, to me next Monday, a week from today, is a perfect time again because it's a little bit, guys are a little bit, you know, heavy legs and a little bit groggy. And so it's not a great team teaching day. And a lot of our Mondays are like that. They're flow days, kind of getting back on the ice and getting a good sweat and everything along that aspect. So to me, next Monday is a great day for that again. So hopefully, sometimes he's got some conflicts in his schedule and what he can do, but hopefully we'll get him back next Monday and, you know, through the break. And after our fair series to go into break, we're going to bring the guys back for a couple days. And again, that'd be a great time for them to come out and pace and quickness and skill and all that good stuff.
One of the other things I want to talk a little bit about tonight is statistical stuff. You know, as a coaching staff, and I know I've been around for a long time with this and watched how these things change and alternate and all the new things that come in. And there are some new things out now that the National Hockey League's got going, the Corsi statistics, the Fenwick, have to do with shots taken by a player and who plays with whom and when a guy gets more scoring chances with whom he's playing and all that sort of thing. And they're looking at all these things now. What sort of statistics do you consider important? Do you consider plus minus face-off statistics? So do you look at all this stuff? Yeah. What do you count on?
Well, we do look at everything. I mean, I think you want a full picture, and the more information you have, I think the better off. Some you put more stock into others. You know, plus minus can be pretty flawed. You can step on the ice for a line change, and 200 feet away they're scoring a goal, you get a plus or a minus. So now, you know, once there's a trend to it, there's a reason why you lead the team one way or the other. So there are some good positives out of it. You know, face-offs, you can debate the accuracy of who takes some of those sometimes, but certainly to me a very important statistic is face-offs for games. Coach Aubrey and I will fight tooth and nail about shot differential. You know, he says as long as the shots come from certain areas, and Gordy Dayfield's walking in, so he can probably touch on this a little bit as well, but if shots come from a certain angle or we don't allow him to switch sides of the ice, he'll say shoot away and that's fine. I'm a big believer, and you look at Stanley Cup winners and top NHL teams, they outshoot their opponents. You know, obviously you have more skill, you have more talent, you skate better, you possess the puck, you give yourself a better chance to win. The more you shoot, typically, the more quality chances you have. If you out quality chance your opponent, most games, you know, you're going to give yourself a better chance to win. So I'm a big believer in some of that. You know, I think as we get more and more and our team gets a little bit more settled, our staff gets a little bit more settled, we'll do a little bit more once we get to know our team and where we need to focus a little bit more. So this year we haven't been, you know, too worried about them. But again, as we get more things into place, you know, quality chances for, quality chances against, and then ranking our players. So ideally, as we get into it down the road, post game, I would like every player to see, you know, the quality chances for that they were involved with, the quality chances against, and then they have a plus minus based on that. So, Bill, you had a great night. You were plus three overall. You created three quality chances for. You gave up zero. You were plus three. Then we'll add in your hits, turnovers, takeaways, and we'll give you a game rating based off of that.
And again, this is where all these teams now have hockey ops people, and we do too. We have a volunteer named Ned Zimmer who does, I guess he does a great job. I haven't really watched what he's done thus far. Brian Cooper did this job the past couple of years for Lake Superior, but these are important jobs because you spend so much time with film, and this is where you can double check on statistics. You can actually watch the whole film and you can look at who's winning faceoffs and whether it's accurate and who's getting shots and scoring chances, and film's very important now.
Well, no question, and you know, you'll probably be shocked the hours we asked Ned to contribute to our program and the hours he's able to contribute, but one of the first guys at the rink, one of the last guys to leave, he's got to download film, upload film, make player individual shifts for all our players. All our players come in with a jump drive, they give it to Ned. Ned puts the film so they can go home and Gordy can just watch the shots against, or Austin McKay can just watch his shifts and not the whole game. You know, no better way to learn the game than watching yourself back with a critical eye. So, yeah, Ned's extremely important for us. And then, you know, for Huntsville, he'll have all the film downloaded in our laptops, broken down, so when we get it, we can go watch all their breakouts or all their power play, things like that. So it's a huge help. And then, like I said, once we get more into our stats and post-game, we can watch quality chances for, quality chances against, grade our players based on that, grade our players out, and really give us a real eagle's eye viewing of what happened for individual players in that game.
Yeah, and every team's doing this now. Every team's got somebody who's with them whose job it is to make sure that the X's and O's or whatever program you're using, some program that you can download, upload, is getting done, and so that you've got that availability at the end of the game.
Yeah, if you guys, anybody sitting across from the press box, watch after the first period ends, and you'll see Ned grab a laptop and come sprinting down to the locker room because, we might want to see our power play or their penalty kill or, hey, we're not breaking the puck out. Let's watch our breakouts and see what's going on. So, that live feedback sometimes is very valuable as well. But, very undervalued position. A lot of you around here know the Nightingale family. Jason Nightingale's with the Buffalo Sabres doing their hockey analytics. Some of the things we talked about. And then also with drafted players, their Corsi, their Fenwick, to see who they want to add to their program. So it's it's obviously a hot debate a little bit now with some of the old school saying it's useless and a lot of the new school saying, how valuable it is. Kyle Dubas going down the Maple Leafs really brought that debate to the forefront. But, there's a lot of value. I mean, I think if you're not getting better every day or learning every day, then you're getting passed by. So I think things like that we really got to pay attention to and grow from.
Yeah, it's tough. And, you ask Ned to do an awful lot. I mean, he's volunteer. He isn't getting paid to do this job. And, that's pretty tough, but it's something that is so important to these programs. We haven't really talked at all this season about staff in general either. You got a pretty good trainer in Matt McKelvey who's experienced now. Paul Prouchet is like one of the players. He just fits in with everybody. Your equipment manager, he's been at this a while now. He's pretty good at it. You got a couple of pretty good student managers who've been around for at least a year, if not two.
Yeah, Wes and Keith have done a great job as well. I think going back to Ned's situation particularly, Rich was in that position. He came back here as a volunteer, a grad assistant those first couple of years. When I got done playing, I went to Michigan State, did a grad assistant, unpaid for 2 years, was married, and you make it work, and it's such a competitive environment, so a foot in the door. So for Ned, this is his opportunity to get involved at the college level. I've had different guys that I've worked with that are now in the NHL doing it, or different college jobs, full-time jobs. So love to be able to make that position supported a little bit better in a full-time position. But it's a foot in the door. Same thing Keith and Wes. They might try to go to the pro hockey as an equipment manager or a full-time college job when they graduate. So it's huge for us to have that. Good people in your organization that are dedicated, want to be there. And then hopefully we can help them navigate some career paths to get them some opportunities full-time down the road.
All righty. Well, I know they're all doing a pretty good job for you, and it's going to make success in the long run. And, Damon, we're going to take a break here in the show. We'll be back. Gordy Dayfield will join us, the freshman goaltender. We'll talk to Gordy, and then Damon will be back for the last segment of the show tonight. All right, welcome back to the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. It's a Laker hockey show, and joining me right now in this portion of the show, we always have a player join us each week, and Gordy Dayfield, a freshman goaltender out of Stillwater, Minnesota, is with us. And Gordy, welcome to the show, first of all, and let's tell the folks a little bit about your background, how you grew up and ended up playing at Lake Superior State when you're from Stillwater.
I grew up in Stillwater, Minnesota, and I've been playing hockey pretty much my whole life. I played forward and goalie until I was about 9, and then made the switch over to goaltender, and then played my youth all the way through Stillwater, and played a little junior hockey in Minnesota, and then out in British Columbia. So I was there last year, and then fortunately they scouted me out in British Columbia and picked me up, so it's my first year here.
Now, tell us a little bit about that British Columbia deal, because that was a team that didn't do very well most of the season and wound up winning the championship at the end.
Yeah, we struggled early on. We kind of came together later on in the season, and we had a few big-time forwards that could definitely put the puck in the net. So it was kind of knew that if I kept the puck out of the net, that they would get their job done. So yeah, they kind of pulled their length for the team, so they did well.
But it's the kind of thing where you saw an awful lot of pucks last year, and you got better and stronger as the season went on and had a pretty good ending.
Yeah, I think the statistics said that in playoffs I averaged about 64 minutes a game with all the overtimes and 45-plus shots. So I definitely had my work cut out last season and prepared me to come in here and be ready to play.
Now, Stillwater, Minnesota, for those of you who are listening in who aren't familiar with that town, it is east of the Twin Cities, but it's a beautiful place. It's right on the St. Croix River between Wisconsin and Minnesota, and it's pretty much known an area for water sports and boating, and it's just beautiful. It's on a cliff there, and it's a very, very nice place.
Yeah, I love Stillwater. Fortunately, I've been able to have a house right on the bluff. Looking over at Wisconsin, and I wouldn't want to grow up anywhere else.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice place, especially in the summertime. Gordy, we've got a question from our audience tonight that I wanted to use for you because it's about goaltending, and somebody asked about goaltenders. Do your goalies ever get nervous before a game, and if they do, how do they handle that? How do they handle the nerves before a hockey game?
I don't know. I guess I've played a lot of games and a lot of bad games, so that kind of helps me in the future. So just to know that the worst thing that can happen being a goalie is they put the other goalie in, and then you go take a nap and wake up the next day and do it all over again.
So you don't get that nervous. And it's an interesting situation for me this year to watch you two freshman goaltenders. You get along pretty well from what I can see. I think there's probably competition there. In fact, there definitely is among all four of the goaltenders in practices, et cetera. But you all get along pretty well.
Yeah, especially I think we all get along, and especially me and Kevin, who's a great guy. He's pretty quiet, and we've gotten along right away, which is really good, especially with how much competition is there. It's good to have a goalie that you can hang out with, and people like to joke that if you see Kevin, then I'll probably be coming right along with him. So,
but that's good.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And you're both freshmen, and I guess the other thing would be that we do have one of our coaches specializes in goaltending, and so Pete Aubrey spends a lot of time, not this week or last week because he hasn't been around, but he spends a lot of time with you guys. There are special little sessions before practice, during practice, where he works with you on the skill drills, et cetera, that you can do as a goaltender.
Yeah, Pete's been great. I'm so thankful to have a goaltending coach, and especially a guy like Pete. He's always got a smile on his face and makes the game a lot more fun to work with, and just because he's in a good mood and he's pretty positive. So I'm really thankful to have Pete there, and I mean, I don't know what I would do without him. He's always got something you got to learn, and he might throw a little bit at you, a little too much on your plate at sometimes, but you know, he's you just stick with it, he'll motivate you to keep going, and he's been great all year.
Now, in your goaltending career that you've had, and it's a young one at this point, but have you had goaltending coaches before who work with you, other than maybe to go to a camp or something where you work with somebody?
Unfortunately, when I was younger, I didn't. I'd go in the summers, but with the association, Stillwater, we didn't have specific goalie coaches growing up, but in the summer I would always train. But I think I would, if I could have done it again, I would have try to get on a team that had a goalie coach, just because now the game is becoming so fundamental, and I didn't really pick up on the fundamental side of the game until later in my career.
Now, you've played an awful lot of hockey so far here at Lake Superior. Coming into the Division One game, it's supposed to be a big step from Tier 2 Junior A. Has it been that way? Has it been more difficult? Do you see shots that maybe you didn't see before? Is it a little tougher?
Yeah, it's just different. Like you said, last year my team, I had a lot of action. But I think that this level, it's just every team is so much more deep, and every single guy can rip the puck very hard. And so that's just the difference. Is last year the bottom lines weren't as big of a threat. And at this level, everyone is very – and they're a lot stronger too. Every guy is – you know, before the oldest guys were 20, like maybe 21 years old, where Now there's, 23, 24-year-old guys that have been working out for the last 4 years, and they're not afraid to shoot the puck as hard as they can.
Yeah, and they can shoot it.
Oh, yeah.
there are some very good players in Division One. How about schooling into things? What are you majoring in, and how's that going? I know it can kind of be a step there. Not only is the hockey a step, but a lot of junior players haven't been in school for a couple of years. You might have graduated high school a few years ago and haven't been in school.
Yeah, it's definitely different playing juniors for 3 years. I did a lot of online schooling, but it wasn't the same. It's not that the schooling is too much more difficult, but it's just the balance of school and hockey. We're on the road a lot, and so that's, you got to crush your homework and a few hours every night and get ready to do it again.
Now, goaltenders quite often have little idiosyncrasies and they have little things they like to do before a game. I know in the past we've had a lot of goalies who've had the reflex ball out in the hallway, or they get with another guy and they do something to get loosened up, et cetera. I've seen goaltenders over the years do a lot of different things. Do you have anything that you do before a game to psych up, to get ready, or do you just try to stay relaxed?
Yeah, I listen to my iPod before the games to get me in the zone, and I listen to the same songs every game, and I like to toss the racquetball before the games just to get my eyes moving. But I don't like to have a set thing I do every game, but it kind of turns out that way.
Sure. And how is the schooling going for you so far? Has it been good?
Yeah, it's been great. I guess I don't really enjoy it, but it was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to get right there. I didn't enjoy it either, and I wasn't playing hockey. But that's good, and I'm sure you're doing well because I know it's important, and it's one of the main reasons why you're here. One thing about you too that I've noticed already, it's not very often that you get to know freshman parents real soon, but I know your dad pretty well. He's at every game, and I don't think he's missed a game yet.
Yeah, my dad's. He's a character, that's for sure, and he loves hockey, and he watches me every game, and if he's not watching, if he's not here, he'll watch online, and whether I'm playing or if Kevin's playing, he stayed up when we were in Alaska until about 1 o'clock in Minnesota time watching Kevin play, and I thought that was pretty cool, because I probably wouldn't watch Kevin play, but if I was him. But he's a great guy. And
you don't think Mr. Aldridge is staying up all night to watch you play?
He probably is. He probably is, to be honest. Mr. Aldridge, both Kevin's parents, I've actually met them a few times, and they're really good people. So I wouldn't doubt it. I've just never asked them.
Yeah, that's Keith Aldridge's brother. So he is a good guy. He's not
great
quite
guy.
He's not quite as crazy as Keith, but he gets her done. And, it's been a great start for you so far this season. You're probably looking forward to getting on the bus and going to Huntsville. For one thing, it should be a little bit warmer and a little less snowy than it is here. But those are important games, and I know you're looking forward to playing.
Yeah, I can't wait. This weekend off was it was okay. But, I play the game. I like to play the actual games, and I can't wait to get back on the ice and get a couple points in our conference.
Yeah, and one thing, these practices, there's been a lot of skating going on, and goaltenders get right in there. The only thing is goaltenders have heavier pads on and a lot more equipment, and you're still doing those skating drills every day for the conditioning end of things.
Yeah, Coach has us very conditioned. I don't think I've played for a coach or a team that's been as conditioned as us or done that amount of skating, but I know earlier in the season he said that he'll sacrifice a couple losses early on to be able to have the legs in January, because that's when it's going to matter. And I think that our team later on in the season will be able to outskate the other teams, especially later on in the game, a third period and overtime. I think we'll be ready to go.
That's kind of starting to happen already. It paid dividends for you up in Alaska, a long trip like that, and you still played pretty darn well, and conditioning was not an issue.
Yeah, especially with that big sheet. I haven't played on that big of a sheet. I thought that the game would be a little bit slower than it was, or our guys wouldn't be used to it, but they were definitely more conditioned than the other team, and they kind of took it to them, and we were strong the entire game.
Well, let's hope that's the case this weekend down in Huntsville. Gordy, I thank you for being here and joining us. We'll get you on again as the season goes on, and good
thank
luck.
You. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Gordy Dayfield joining us here on the Laker Hockey Show. He's done a great job for the Lakers here so far in his freshman year. We'll be right back with the head coach, Damon Whitten, after this on ESPN 1400. What's gone on? It's great to have the Blue Liners and the other fans join us each week. We really appreciate that. And I think if Chris were here, he'd have something to say about that. He is not here tonight. I know he had his dinner theater last Sunday night. They're going to be doing that again here in the near future, and they've got a lot of specials going on down here. They're very busy on Monday here at the Antlers. This show is the end of it, but they have Rotary every Monday at noon, and they've got a lot of other things going on, and this time of year gets really busy for them with the holiday parties, et cetera. But we really appreciate everything that Chris does for us here at the Antlers and playing host Laker Hockey Show. Now let's talk a little bit about the young man who was just with us. Pretty outstanding for a freshman to have the kind of personality that he's got, but on top of that, this is a very good goaltender.
Yeah, he's done a great job, and you know, two things pop. I think he meant to say I'm not liking my transition back into school. I love school, but it's been a tough, difficult. So I wanted to clear that up. He mentioned that on his walk out, but you know, secondly, when the transition happened with the jobs, you know, we looked at our roster, and you know, Pete Magariotis was here, never played a college hockey game. Davis was here, never played a college hockey game. Kevin Aldridge was on the board, never played a college hockey game, incoming freshman. So. You know, we were concerned. You know, we talked once Rich and Pete finally came on board. You know, it's an area you don't want to be inexperienced and not talented enough. So we were very concerned. And I mean, we watched countless hours of film all across the country. Anybody, you know, made, I don't know, just countless phone calls. Anybody had a goalie available, you know, 93s, 94s, whatever birth year, guys we felt were ready to come in. And you know, kept coming back to Gordy and had a chance to watch him play a lot late for Coquitlam and the run they went on. But Some things that people may not know, he's kind of battled his way. Like, he was never a star in high school. He played a low level of junior hockey 2 years ago and took his team to the Royal Bank Cup, which is unheard of. They went down to Toronto, beat the Toronto teams, and took his team to the Royal Bank Cup. So just unbelievable. On the back of him, and he's making 50, 60 saves a night. And then last year, Coquitlam, they had a very average team through January. He kind of got settled in, got hot. Took a mid-pack Coquitlam team, beat everybody in the BC League to take his team to the Western mm-hmm. Canada Cup. So here he is again. Kid came out of nowhere, won a number one job, won a championship, and so just, you know, I thought the adversity he fought through, he made his team better. He won championships. You know, everything just came coming back. And then his coach talked about I played for Barry Wolf out in Coquitlam, and known Barry for a number of years. And their goalie the year before was Cole Huggins, who went to Mankato. Won the job from Stephon Williams as a freshman. I think was a freshman all rookie team last year at the CHA. And Barry spoke very favorably of Gordy in the comparison to Cole Huggins. Now Cole went into Mankato that had a pretty veteran team, some high end talent, a little bit different situation where we're at with our youth and our age. But you know, Barry was very positive. So that's kind of how Gordy shook out late there. You know, Kevin was coming off a championship. We liked that quite a bit about Kevin's pedigree and that he was winning. But here was Gordy, too, battling. So he's done a good job. He came in great shape and kind of gave himself a foot up to win that starting job early on.
Yeah, he's been, you know, it's hard for freshmen sometimes. They kind of stay in the background a little bit. But he's been up front right away. He was very good. The interview I did with him for our Get to Know the Lakers feature, and you could see here tonight he can talk, and he's got a funny side to him, too. He didn't mean to say anything bad right there, but, hey, I didn't like school when I was in it either, and I managed to survive. So he's a gamer, and the thing I like about him is he challenges, he comes out, he plays in the blue, he's cutting angles, and he's an old-school type goaltender to me.
Well, he's not just a gamer, though. You know, sometimes you use the term gamer as a kid who just shows up and plays. Like, his practice habit,
oh, yeah.
His approach, his preparation is very, very good, and that's something as a program we're trying to get better at. Our daily approach to practice for all 28 players on our team, needs to improve, and he's a guy that comes in and has good preparation, takes care of his body, does his warm-ups, post-game cool-down, everything like that. So he does a good job.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about recruiting. We always talk about it, but especially at this time of the year because NLI signing date, the early date, is coming right up. It's right on us, as a matter of fact. And how many do you suspect you'll get here, or do you know that you'll get early here to sign for the future for Lake Superior State?
Yeah, you know, it's up in the air. We'll probably sign 6 to 8, somewhere in that area. You know, some other guys who are verbally committed, you know, probably won't sign right now. The plan is for them to play another year, number two. We talk a lot about being over ready. I think we've mentioned it once or twice, but we want our kids to be over ready. So no matter if they're a 95 or 97, we got a couple 98s. You know, there's no real set year. Hey, you're coming in here. When you're the best player on your team in the Sioux Eagles or Waterloo or wherever it is, you got to be the best player on your team. You got to be a top player in your league if you're going to come in and have the impact that we want you to have. So we talk more about over ready versus you're coming in 15, 16, or 16, 17. So that's the conversations we have. But we'll have some guys signing for sure. There's a couple guys we're trying to use the signing period to come in. You know, once again, we had two guys in this weekend. One of them told us he wants to be a Laker. The other one was previously committed. So, you know, once our kids get to campus, I mean, they've loved it. They love the town. They love the hockey atmosphere, the tradition, the history, our facilities. So, you know, we got to make sure we're getting kids up, you know, whether it's summertime or even now it gets a little tougher. They're all into their games. But that's why I think summers are so critical, especially when we're a little bit of a geographic outlier. To get kids to our campus, to show up what we're all about when they're not in the middle of seasons or whatever, the more kids we can get through, the more success we'll have.
Well, that's a pretty good number, I'll tell you. You're going to lose three seniors this year, and they're all forwards, so I'm assuming you want to get a couple of forwards in here, but you could probably use a good defenseman too. You talked last show about balancing out the classes a little bit better, and so how do you do that?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, maybe there's some transfers. There might be some kids with some academics that end up falling into that sophomore class. To me, like I said, it's squarely on us if we don't find a way to balance out our D-core. We can't be in a cycle where every 4 years we lose five guys and have to count three or four new freshmen to come in and play from day one. I mean, it's just not a position you can have a lot of success with. So, you know, we will have to carry some more bodies than we want. You know, maybe we move some guys up front. You know, I think for a coaching change at times, you see some guys who don't fit in and choose to go somewhere else to play, and you never know. That may happen. You know, we've got two guys in particular that have NHL guys come to see them play every night. So, you know, there's a good chance a guy or two signs a contract and then we lose them. So there's a lot that can happen. There's always moving pieces. The money we have to work with in terms of our scholarships is always moving, changing. Academic aid, guys signing early. So there's a lot of moving pieces. And that's part of the other reason. I think if you hear somebody, oh, they're coming next year, or oh, they're coming 16, 17, you know, that's always a little bit of a moving piece. You know, if we don't lose guys, then they probably can't come in. Now, if one or two of our guys sign, then we might have to bring that guy in early or find somebody who's more ready to play. So there's a ton of moving pieces. And if you ever have a chance to come up and take a little peek at our board, you know, you'll see a big list of names that we're dealing with, that we're talking to, and then we project out 3 or 4 years. We have next year's lineup up on there. We got 3 years out with our kind of skeleton lineup of who's committed and who's supposed to come in, and you know, maybe there's an injury and he's pushed back. He doesn't have the year they want. You know, a quick story. We recruited a kid named Reed Sturles over at Michigan Tech, and you know, Reed came out of Brighton High School hockey, my hometown. Played for my stepdad, and drafted was an early draft pick of Omaha in the USHL, first round future pick. Went to Omaha, was kind of in and out, never quite stuck. So we got sent to Alexandria in the North American League, kind of halfway through the year, caused some development. Next year, same thing, went back to the USHL, in and out, back to the North American League. And he was supposed to come in. It was 2 years outside of high school. And we said, Reed, you know, you haven't had the development you need. You know, you missed some time, whatever. So Reed ended up going out to Nanaimo in the BCHL, you know, kind of at our urging, saying, you know, you want to come in and you want to play. You know, we recruited you. The scholarship you're on is to be an impact player, and you're not ready for that. So give him a lot of credit. Went out to Nanaimo, ended up being a top 15 scorer, came to Michigan Tech now as a 20-year-old, and was third in the WCHA in rookie scoring last year. So, you know, he became over ready. He physically developed. He had a great year. His confidence was up. His goal scoring was back. And so, you know, it's not always perfect, and kids don't always like, they always want to be here. They always think they can be true freshmen. There's not a lot of true freshmen that can come in and play at this level anymore. So it's a work in progress. And, you know, you have open dialogue when you recruit kids. You try to do it with honesty and integrity and let them know that, that when you're over ready and if we have room, you'll come in this year ideally. But we want to have the option. If you're not ready to come in and help our team, then you may need to go back and develop and come along a little bit further.
Yeah, we see that all the time. I know there are a couple of local kids who've committed to Lake Superior State, and they're with the Eagles right now, and they're not playing all that much. So it's probably going to be a while before those two young men can join Lake Superior State in any way. They're going to have to continue to work at it and continue to get better at that junior A level.
Yeah, and I don't know what team they're on. I don't know what you're talking about there per rules, but yeah, that's the case. I mean,
well,
you got to be over ready.
As long as we don't use names, I think we can do just
organization,
anything we want, right?
Yeah. So,
but you know, we're not mentioning who anybody is, and everybody in the Sioux knows anyway. So, you know, we're gonna go on a long trip here, and then we're gonna come home, and we got two weekends in a row at home. I think that's the only time this season that happens. Pink and the Rink's coming up in about a week and a half, and then we're gonna play against Mankato, a very good team out of Minnesota State, and two nice weekends at home.
It's going to be great to be home. It feels like it's been forever. I'm sure our fans feel the same way. So we're excited to get home. You know, Pink and the Rink, I know, is such a big weekend for this community. The committee is working hard. If there are people listening that want to donate time or gifts, so there's a lot of ways to help out the committee in that event for our community and women's health. So please reach out to myself or our administration. But that's going to be a great weekend. You know, you always worried about crowds and that homecoming or the Thanksgiving weekend, rather. Our students will be gone. So, you know, we got to find out some promotions and get everybody excited to come support us that Thanksgiving weekend. And we'll be working hard on that as well.
Okay, very good. Well, we're out of time here tonight. It seems like it goes by fast.